start in the warm-up, the voice of Anfield, George Sefton, played the Who song, "The Kids Are All Right." What an apt song to play, because the kids, we knew, were all right at the weekend. It was even better tonight. Jadon Dans, two goals for him, his first goals for Liverpool in front of the Kop. Lewis Kumas was handed a debut. He fired Liverpool in front. That really was Roy of the Rovers stuff. It was amazing. He got the ball from Tsimikas in the first half. The first half was tough. He cut inside, let fly, deflected into the net. The celebrations were brilliant. Into the second half, Jadon Dans came on, scored twice. The first, a beautiful pass from Harvey Elliott. What a finish from the 18-year-old to dig it over the keeper. The second, a classic striker's goal, really. Putting in a rebound to knock it in. What a night for the kids. What a night for the academy. That was special. Quarter-finals, here we come. Liverpool 3, Southampton 0.
The kids are all right. What a night for these young Reds at Anfield under the lights. I'm Peter McDowell, and you're listening to the Reaction Podcast. In this episode, we're reflecting on Liverpool's 3-0 win over Southampton in the fifth round of the FA Cup. We'll hear from Jurgen Klopp, from Kevin Kelleher and Jadon Dans on a very memorable night for the young Scouser. First, though, the initial post-match thoughts of our pundits, former Reds Neil Mellor and under-21s player coach Jay Spearing.
I'm a little bit taken back by it, to be honest. It's a real proud moment, not just for me, but for Barry Lutus, Mark Bridge-Wilkinson, all the staff that have worked with him throughout the years that have been at the academy, Alex Inglethorpe, obviously academy director, and all the first team staff as well, because they've obviously took them over the last couple of weeks to get them ready for their opportunity. But listen, it's a huge moment for them individually. Kumas, you know, like, he's worked extremely hard. He started off as a right back. He found his way playing on the wing and up front and scoring goals. But for Jadon Dans as well, to play with his dad for 2 years at Bolton and then coaching his son and then seeing him go and score two goals at the Kop end, it's unbelievable.
Had somebody come up with this story in Roy of the Rovers, you'd have been laughed out of the place, wouldn't you? No one's going to believe that a story like this could happen so soon after they'd see a Liverpool's Cup victory at the weekend.
Football can make dreams come true. Did that tonight. You know, for young Jadon Dans, for young Louis Kumas, two outstanding young talent. You're lucky enough to see them all the time. For us, we watched them in the youth games. You need an opportunity. You need a manager brave enough to give you that chance. But to go out there and to contribute in a game like that against a top championship team, you know, make no mistake about that. They're a top championship team, just been relegated from the Premier League. Want to be getting back into the Premier League. And to do that against them tonight, absolutely magnificent. Everyone at the academy can be really proud. It's another special night. It really is a special night for Liverpool and everyone associated with the academy.
He hadn't played a minute of senior football prior to the weekend. Comes on in a cup final, helps seal the trophy, and then comes and makes his debut at Anfield, scores twice. Talk to me really about the first finish, because this is Jadon, by the way. He gets that opportunity in on goal. You'd have almost forgiven him for smashing that, but just had such composure to chip it over the goalkeeper.
That's probably exactly the same word I'd probably use, the composure to have in front of the Kop, being slid in. You know, his brain must be going 100 mile an hour. To have that composure, to slow things down, to dink the keeper, knowing that the keeper, I think he's probably blindsided to knowing exactly where the keeper is, but have the audacity as well to do it in front of the Kop at such a young age shows the confidence that's in that lad. And we see it day in, day out. He's an incredible talent. He can finish. He scores goals for fun. But the belief that he has in himself, it's probably one of the highest levels that I've seen for such a young boy. The confidence that he has, the belief, the desire, the commitment to the game of football, and love that he has for it, it's extremely high. And I've not seen it for a very long time.
I wonder if that was his first bit of game time, if he would have done it. You know, he's come on against Luton. Looked decent, probably should have had an assist, shouldn't he, before Harvey Elliott scores. He comes on at the cup final, what an occasion. The lift, the buzz, the confidence he has at the moment to then come off the bench and just get that opportunity. He looked so calm, and it was an accomplished finish that you would say from a top-level centre-forward, and he's only 18. So and to do it in front of the Kop as well. You know, as a young player, you want to be scoring at Anfield. You want to be scoring in front of the Kop. He's done that twice tonight, magnificent.
There's something special about centre-forwards. They have this confidence, don't they, about them. I loved his celebration for his second goal. He didn't smash the first one. He certainly smashed the second one, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm sure he made sure of that. But it's the reactions. It's the reaction for me. He's still alive. You know, you can see Conor Bradley's about to take a shot. It's a great save, but he's first to react in front of everybody. Now, they're experienced. They've been in the Premier League defenders. Two centre-halves have been around for a very long time. But the youthness, the cleverness and the awareness from him to step forward and react quick and, you know, obviously, like you say, smash it into the back of the net, and then the celebrations are his celebrations. He's obviously excited. He's done it for the second time, which if you'd have said to me before the game, would you take two? You know what I mean? He'd have jumped at it. So, listen, again, it's a special night for him, but also a very special night for Louis Koumas as well that we have to mention.
What people might not realise for that second Danzy goal is it's anticipation. Some people say, oh, it's a tap-in. It's not, because he is not favourite when the shot comes in from Conor Bradley to get the next ball, but he's thinking, the ball's going to come out to me. The Southampton defenders, the ball watching, Danzy's on the move to get that anticipation, top centre-forward play and a really good goal.
It was lovely the way the Liverpool senior players, there weren't very many of them on the pitch by that stage, had pushed him towards the cop as if to say, go and celebrate this goal on your own and savour every last second of it. Shall we hear from him? He's with Becky Davis.
Jaden, I think it's fair to say you've just lived out your dreams on that pitch tonight. You must be on cloud nine right now.
Yeah, honestly, my head is in the clouds, to be honest. You know, when the ball went in the back of the net, I think it was just a blur. I just ran into the crowd and tried to do any celebration, but yeah. Honestly, it was mad to score, and unbelievable feeling, you know, watching the club growing up and then scoring a goal for them. So, yeah, couldn't be happier.
I feel like your head must have been in the clouds over the past week in general. Obviously, you get your debut last week. Yeah. You're playing in a final at Wembley at the weekend, and then two goals here at Anfield tonight. It's pretty tall order to top that as 7 days go.
I mean, not long ago, I was just promoted to the 21, so to come and play first team and then get my first goals and my debut and then go in at a final, honestly, I couldn't be more grateful to the coach and staff. They've given me every opportunity and, you know, whatever happens now, I can live happy, to be honest. So, yeah, there's more to come, hopefully. And, yeah.
I think anyone who's watched you at academy level, as obviously a lot of people who watch LFC TV will well have done, they will have seen that finish for the first goal, I think, many, many times before. But how did it feel to do it at Anfield in front of so many people?
Honestly, there's no better feeling. Like, I think this is it. Last week was the best day of my life. Then the final was the best day of my life, and now today is the best day of my life. So yeah, unbelievable feeling.
What about the game overall? Because it seems after Lewis's goal that things sort of settled down a bit. Obviously, you came on in the second half, but watching from the bench, it seemed like after that the team got a bit more confident.
Yeah, no, to be honest, to see Lewis score, I've come up with him throughout the whole academy, so I was buzzing for him to score. And then when I come and scored, I mean, the headlines was going to be the two youngsters, and we've grew up together, so yeah, unbelievable to see him score, and then even better feeling to obviously score myself.
Yeah, and obviously to be on there with James and Bobby as well. I mean, just how good does it feel to kind of, you're all sort of living out your dreams, I guess, aren't you, when you're looking around at a full Anfield and you're all on the pitch?
Not so long ago, we were all in the 18 changes together, you know, prepping for Newcastle and having the tunes on. So to go out there and play on the main stage with them all is a great feeling.
And obviously a big shout to the boss as well, because the faith that he shows in you guys, how much confidence does that give you going out there on the pitch?
Max confidence, to be honest. Like, not just the boss, but all the coaching staff have given me as many opportunities as I could ask for, and I'm just grateful to them, to be honest.
Imagine Anfield under the lights lives up to expectations.
Yeah, 100%. More than lives up to the expectation, yeah.
Are you going to sleep tonight?
No.
Thank you.
Cheers.
What a guy. Plays like a 35-year-old, talks like one as well. It just oozes maturity and this unique nature of the thing that he talks about there. We see quite often young players make headlines, don't we? And not quite in the way that he has this week, but you know, the fact that you come through with your mate and get to do it on the same stage on the same night, that's almost unheard of.
It is, and they are unbelievable occasions. I was very, very fortunate to make my debut with Stephen Darby and Martin Kelly, and I know from doing that exactly how he feels, because you grow up with these boys from the age of 9, 10, you train with them 3, 4 times a week, you play, go on pre-season tours, you go on tours abroad, you know absolutely everything about each other. And to come through and to play at first team level alongside your mates and to play in front of the cop, to be given the opportunity to do it, honestly, there is no better feeling. And honestly, I'm absolutely buzzing for absolutely every one of them. And listen, James McConnell as well, Bobby Clark, they deserve a mention because they've gone out there tonight. Kate Gordon as well, great to see him back after such a long time out. But every single one of them, they wouldn't be there without the trust from the boss. And he's a special, special manager. he's trusted in them to go out and perform. And listen, they've took their opportunity. And like I said to them the other day, they've got to keep riding this wave.
Don't underestimate the importance of the dads. Both have been decent pros themselves. Jason Kumas had a really good career. Neil Danz as well. And the extra pressure on their young lads, is he going to be like his dad? Is he going to be as good as his dad? That would have been said all the way through, under nines, under tens. Ah, but will he be as good as his dad? Tonight, they're showing that. They're only 18. And it's credit to them that they've listened to the dad, but also listened to the coaching staff, the likes of Jay and Barry Lutus and everybody down there at the academy, to make sure they're making the most of the talent that they have. But yeah, the dads have definitely played a big part, and Bobby Clark as well with his dad.
And their mums, by the way, they'll have been the calming influence during the whole period of them making headlines. I'm just looking at some of his stats here, though, Neil. 10 goals, 9-9 for the under-18s, 3 games and 2 goals for the under-21s. They're the hardest thing to find, goal scorers, aren't they? And there's something a little bit special about this lad beyond what's happened tonight.
We've both watched academy football. We've been fortunate enough to play and come through ourselves. You see a lot of young players score a lot of goals at 18s. But they're making that step up. Can you do it at 21s? Some do. Not quite as well. But to do it in the first team and to do it so quickly, it is really, really difficult. So really impressed with how quickly they've been able to adapt to playing in the first team. How long they sustain that, I don't know. But what has really impressed is that they can handle being out there in that sort of environment, because it can be daunting. At the weekend, you're thinking, wow, 90,000, it's a cup final, but they managed to handle it. And again, here at Anfield, the fans were really behind them. I think that helps, doesn't it?
Yeah,
the fact absolutely. That the fans are really behind, getting behind them and supporting them, it gives them that confidence to be able to have a little cheeky finish like that, rather than snatch at it and put it into the crowd.
Just before we finish this part, Jay, talk to us about his personality. What is he like behind the scenes, from, you know, beyond what we've seen in the interviews and in the VT there tonight?
From the moment he's come into scholarship for me, he's first out. He's always first out the training field. He's out 15, 20 minutes before everybody else, working on his touch, on his passing, on his finishing, as you've obviously seen tonight. He's first in the gym. He wants the recovery. He wants to do everything properly. His mentality to get better and to be the best player is probably one of the highest that I've seen of his age. Now, listen, don't get me wrong, there are plenty of players as Liverpool that still do that, but he stands out. He learns quickly, and he's deserved his opportunity tonight, because he's bided his time at under-18 football. He's scored goal after goal. He said to us he never counted his goals, but he's clearly lying. He's made his way into 21's football. He's took his chance there, like you say, with the stat of obviously 2 goals in 3 games. And again, he's come on tonight and he's took his chance again. So, listen, Danzy's been a breath of fresh air to work with. He's a great kid on and off the field, and he's a joy to work with.
Just a quick break in the show to tell you there's never been a better time to show your support for the Reds, whether it's getting kitted out with this season's Nike home strip, checking out our new arrivals to our training range, or if you want to roll back the years with a shirt from our retro range, the Liverpool FC store has everything you need. And right now, there's even savings of up to 30% on this season's away kit while those stocks last. Visit the store today, go online to liverpoolfc.com/store, or download the official LFC store app to find what you're looking for. Right, let's get back to the show.
Well, the rain is coming down here at Anfield, but it's doing nothing to dampen the spirits of Liverpool fans who pointed out during the singing towards the end of the game that it's been a couple of days since they last won a trophy. And the kids out here tonight have done Liverpool proud, beating Southampton, a high-flying championship side in Southampton, by 3-0. All the headlines about Jadon Danz with his 2 goals here on his first ever appearance as a senior player at Anfield. And, of course, Lewis Kumas getting the occasion underway with his first Liverpool goal on his debut as well. What about him, Jay, as a personality? What have you come across in terms of what's made him suitable for this first team step up?
I think for Louis, as I mentioned before, he was a right back maybe a couple of years ago. They moved him forward because they could see the intensity that he pressed forward, that he was aggressive, he tackled, he was very fit. He could run around, you know, he was athletic. He can, you know, he'd run for 90 minutes, and he was always on the front foot and going forward. So and in front of goal, you could see that he had a little bit of a finish in him. Tonight, for me, again, it's another special night for him. He's worked his way through the sides, under 16s, 18s, and 21s. He's done incredibly well for the 21s, been consistent. He's been a little bit more training with the first team more than Jaden Dant has, but his time, he had to bide his time with obviously all the fit players being available. But tonight, I felt that he looked a little bit nervous when he first started, which, you know, first start, first minutes for the club. Of course, you're going to be nervous as a young boy, but put him in front of goal with one shot, and it was a lovely, composed finish to driving inside and finished on his right foot. But another boy that wants to learn. He doesn't accept anything but the standards that he sets, which are extremely high, and another one that's got a lot of talent going forward.
I think where he deserves credit for me is he hasn't been on the pitch yet. You know, he's seen his mate, Jaden Dant, get on the pitch in the Premier League, in the cup final, thinking, I want a little bit of that. And then he's got his taste tonight, thinking, just want him to get that second win. Do you know, when it was sort of the occasion, he's got his family here, big crowd, and you're thinking, we know how good a player he is, but the nerves are such a big thing on your debut.
What is that like as a player? Both of you have done that. How do the nerves sometimes get the better of you in those opening stages?
You can't prepare. You cannot prepare yourself for how you're going to cope with 50,000, 60,000, wanting you to do well. You're wanting to do well. You've earned that chance. But you've just not been used to those sort of occasions before. You've dreamt of it, you've wanted it, but you've not tasted it. So you only improve by experiencing it more and more. I thought he grew into the game. I loved when he got the ball, he wanted to drive it into the box and make something happen. And a couple of times it didn't. That didn't put him off. So when he gets his goal, he wants to be positive. He doesn't do the safe option and pass it outside to somebody else in midfield. Go on, you have a go. He's drove into the box, got a little bit of luck with the deflection. But that's credit to him wanting to make something happen. And he should have had an assist 30 seconds later. What a little ball in for Gakpo. But, well, that was the confidence from him. So, yeah, he's contributed on his first ever minutes for Liverpool Football Club and got a goal. Special night.
Let's see where he figures in terms of the overall chart where young players are concerned. He only turned 18 in September, by the way. 18 years and 162 days. And in the youngest FA Cup goalscorers chart, Kay Gordon still up the top. He's grown into a man's body now, hasn't he? He was 17, just turned with that goal against Shrewsbury. And Lewis Kumas now third in that list. Jaden Dan's just above him. There's not much between those two either, is there, in terms of age and stature. But how it changes the landscape for him going forward now. And this is the big test, is it not, for young players, is that you get the taste, you want a little bit more, but at some point he might have to go and play for the 18s, he might have to go and play for the 21s again.
Yeah, right, I'm rightly so, because as much as obviously, listen, the credit, they get all the credit tonight, they're going to have to be ready, because we know that Nunes, Salah and all the forwards are on the way back and nearly ready to come back for fitness. So they're going to have to bide their time again, but they're going to have to stay fit, stay around the 21s, play games, play training and do things properly. Don't come away and sulk. And we know, obviously, the highs that you've had, obviously, tonight and over the last week. But they've still got to be professional in what they do on a day-to-day basis, because, again, they don't know when the next call might come. It's happened for many a players before them, and it'll happen to many a players after them. The fact that you'll get your opportunity, but then there might be a little bit of a period where the opportunity goes quiet for a little bit, and it's how you handle yourself, and then ones will get the next opportunity to come again.
If you needed any convincing about how close Jay Spearing and Lewis Kumas are, I got out of the car on the way to the game tonight, and there is Jay Spearing clutching a pair of Kumas's shorts. They hadn't got enough pairs of shorts, they needed an extra pair, and you were on hand to bring them from the academy. What a guy.
An extra pair, mate, yeah, you know, man of all trades. Now I can do with a kit, man, I can whatever you need to be to do, I'm available. So.
It's crazy, though, isn't it? It's crazy to just think that so many... We talk about their dads and their mums quite rightly as well, but the coaches that have had a hand in bringing the players to this level. And the aftercare as well, Neil, I alluded to it there. They're going to have to play for the 21s at some point. People like Jay are going to be really important there in adjusting them to that new life.
Absolutely, yeah. I think what they've shown is that they can be trusted, you know, to come and do a job for the first team. Ultimately, when we're at full strength, we know that the more senior players will play, but they'll have to do the right things. Frustration may creep in. You know, they may be at the 18s, at Stoke, thinking, what we're doing here? I've been playing at Anfield, but they've still got to keep doing the right things. Keep showing why they got that opportunity, and they may well get that opportunity again. What you would say is that the academy's in a great place at the moment. You know, Alex Inglethorpe for a number of years has done a brilliant job there. The connection is really strong. You know, for my time, it was strained, the relationship between the academy and the first team, which made it more difficult for young players to get that opportunity. So when Jurgen does go in the summer, he's leaving the club in a fantastic place, but also the academy as well. And I hope whoever does come through can have that same relationship, because you just never know what the relationship will be.
Mm. I think for me, I think the AXA training facility is a huge impact. I think that seeing that at the end of the academy walkway really gives that opportunity and shows the boys exactly what is right in front of them. I think obviously the guidance that we have from the younger boys training on the Astros and then obviously the 18s and 21s being towards the AXA building, to know how close it is. I think obviously if you're referring to the time where obviously the academy and Melwood were separate and you know there wasn't as close, where now it can be a case of 11:30 of a morning before a 12 o'clock session, Vitor or Pepe walk into our office, right, we need two players. And that's how quick we can obviously transfer two players to go and train with them, where that maybe not have happened, obviously, back when there was
in
Melwood.
What happens to your session when that happens?
Oh, it goes up in the air, mate. Somehow I'm ripping it off. But no, listen, we have to adjust, but that's how good it can be, because yeah, lads will never know when their opportunity's coming. We've had it before where we're in the middle of a warm-up and Vitor will come out and go, right, we need two players, and we've lost two players right in the middle of a warm-up. But that's what... And listen, you can't say, oh, no, sorry, we've got a session planned. That's exactly what the lads need. And sometimes when it's not planned, they're the best times for them to go and take it.
Incredible. Amazing times, isn't it, for the academy? Amazing. Really is. And you think about the years that it's taken, Jay, to get to that stage where you're getting these players through. What the academy has achieved headlines-wise from Sunday to Wednesday. If you've got a young superstar that all the top clubs are fighting over at the moment, why wouldn't you choose Liverpool?
Yeah, I don't know, because... The time that Jürgen's been here, I think we mentioned it before the game, that I think debut-wise, I think we're talking probably 45, and obviously tonight now probably 46, 47 debuts that he's given opportunities, the lads come from all over the world, but also in the academy system. And for me, like you say, why wouldn't you choose Liverpool Football Club? Because at the minute, the way that things are going, listen, I know teams all around us in the Premier League are obviously bringing through young players, and rightly so. We want to keep doing that as a country and as a Premier League. But at Liverpool right now, I think we're the hottest one around, where we are given huge opportunities, but the boys are also taking them, and they're building limelight for themselves as well.
Can't put a price on it, can you? Jay's also made up, because it's going to mean more minutes for him in the under-21s in the next couple of weeks. Still desperate to play football. Shall we hear from Jürgen Klopp? He's been chatting to Becky Davis.
Jürgen, a night once again where you can be very proud of your academy players. I imagine Lewis and Jaden not sleeping an awful lot tonight, but how enjoyable was that for you to watch?
What can I say? Yes, super special week for them, super special week for us. For so many different reasons. We played the final, won the final, lost two players in that game, in a situation where we don't have players anyway. And you know, we have 3 days later of a game to play, then I cannot make the analyse of Southampton before we play Chelsea. So you do that then, and then you realise, I know it, knew it anyway, the way they play, but if you go a bit more in detail, you see, oh, we better press with good timing and good rhythm. And the first 15 minutes showed we didn't need an oar. We were just there and tried, but we were always too late. And we needed Cuiff a lot. Huh? Cuiff had to save us, and he did. I told Cuiff before the game, I'm pretty sure if you keep a clean sheet, we probably win. And he did, thankfully. And after 50 minutes, the high press got better. And then we scored a goal in a wonderful moment. That was really good. And momentum in life and in football is pretty important. And in that moment, it switched a little bit. And we could adjust again in half time, because it's not rocket science now, midfield press, but we could adjust there, and the boys felt much more comfortable now, got used to each other, and then we scored two more wonderful goals with the changes we made. It's crazy. I saw so many fantastic performances. Cuiff, of course, and all the senior players, how good are they that they lead that thing? You could be in that situation and just get annoyed and think, oh, come on, what can we do? But obviously the moment we are in is really strange and super difficult, but in a strange way, positive as well. So we found solutions so far, but unfortunately we have to keep finding solutions, and it's getting not easier.
You mentioned the senior players there. Obviously, all the headlines will be about the youngsters, which is, you know, rightly so. But can we speak about Joe Gomez? Because he is...
I would write a book about him.
Yeah, he is consistently immense. And tonight, obviously, again, in a slightly unfamiliar position. And once again, immense.
He saved us this season 25 times. We lost Andy Robertson, probably the best left-back in the world. We lost him for ages. Ah, fine, we have a solution. Because we can put Kostas Tsimikas, he breaks his collarbone. So, and then Joey, yeah, not only covering the position, no, giving the position a new outfit, if you want. we do it differently now, but how he plays in the center, that was the preparation for six. I didn't know it when we told him to that, but we could use that today. Then right back, exactly the same. So go on right back. Connor not there, Trent obviously not there. So Joey, come on the other side. And he's doing there exceptional. Now he plays the six. Ay, 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 the way he played is absolutely crazy. Can I ask the people for not, as funny as it is, shoot. Leave the boy alone. One day he will shoot. Let him find the moment himself.
It's coming, though, I think.
One more time, shoot from 40 yards just because the people are calling. Then I get really a bit angry. But besides that, what a boy, what a game. Absolutely exceptional.
It was, and it tees up a quarter final with Manchester United. Yet another massive one for you to shoehorn in the schedule.
Give me a minute to think about that in whenever. Is it in 2 weeks, 3 weeks? I don't know. Thank God it's not tomorrow. That would be a real problem. So now we go home, try to recover again, and find 11 players to start against Nottingham.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
He just looks like a guy that's really enjoying life at the moment. Challenges, of course, there are challenges in every different job, aren't there? And particularly in football at the moment. But he just has the biggest smile on his face, and we all do as well. Let's talk a little bit about Joe Gomez. Remember those Transformer toys when you were a kid and it'll turn from like a lorry into a footballer or something like that? And that's Joe Gomez, isn't it, at the moment? He can play anywhere, and tonight is a six.
To be fair, for me, I think he's been Liverpool's unsung hero all year. I think he's been absolutely outrageously good. I think he's been incredible. I think he's adjusted, just like the boss said then, I think he's adjusted to left back, centre back, right back as a six tonight, and he's took everything in his stride. You never hear about Joe Gomez moaning. You never hear about Joe Gomez like being a bad egg or anything like that. For me, he just seems to be the ultimate professional. He wants to play for Liverpool. He loves playing for Liverpool. I agree on the shooting thing. I think he'll find his way. The fans put a little bit of pressure on him to shoot a bit more, but listen, his moment will come and it'll be a special moment when he gets it. But for me, I just think he's been incredible for this team here, and without him, I think we'll be in real big trouble.
Invaluable. I think that's the word, unsung hero, another phrase used for Joe Gomez this season. Probably would have been a little bit frustrated because he's thinking, where are my opportunities going to come from? And he's filled in at times, like you say, right back, centre back, left back for a sustained period of time when we really needed him. And the manager spoke about finding solutions. Well, he's got players who've got the right attitude to say, I'll do a job for you. You know, we've lost players like James Milner, who's maybe that sort of player. And you're thinking, well, who's going to be the next one? Seems like Joe Gomez is that next one. Invaluable to the squad to fill in when needed, whenever needed. And like I said, it just doesn't look like I play anywhere. And that sort of attitude for a senior player, it really is invaluable. And what it does is it shows the kids, listen, there's a senior player who'll play anywhere. No excuse for you then when that opportunity comes for you.
For a manager as well, they are gold dust. And I mean, like, they're them players that are versatile. They give you a solid 8 out of 10, 7 out of 10 every single week. They're probably one of them ones where you think, oh, I dream for one of them as a manager. And Jürgen's got one, he's found one in Joe Gomez.
It only was slightly disturbed, that momentum that he's kind of got together by the flu bug that hit them a couple of weeks ago. Is he that type of player that needs that momentum to almost know that he's going to play every week to be at his very best?
No, I don't think so. I think personally that when he's called upon, he knows exactly what the job he is to do. I think he's gained over the years the trust of Jürgen to know that. I think he knows how Jürgen works in how, like, he might play one week, he might come out the next. He could be centre-back, he could be right-back. And I think Joe's adjusted to that as a professional as well. Around the dressing room, I'm sure he's an incredible one to have around the place. You know, you can see the connections that he has with other players around, especially Virgil. They have a fantastic relationship that you can see on social media with the club as well. So for me, I think he'd be a gold dust, and I don't think he needs drive to know that he's in momentum to play games. I think he's got a high standard anyway.
I think you have to remember as well with Joe Gomez, he's had some serious injuries in his career. Some really, really bad injuries. And just to be out there playing, I'm sure he's grateful for that. He's played nearly 100 minutes in the cup final. He's coming after nearly, 20-odd minutes for Ryan Gravenberch.
Yeah.
So he's one of the players who's played, put a shift in there, the adrenaline there. And then, of course, tonight, full game.
Hello there, just a quick break in today's show to remind you that there are two series of We Are Liverpool available to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. It's where you'll hear from current and former players about their lives on and off the pitch. We've got Andy Robertson's car sharing stories with his brother, Lucas Leiva's humbling phone call to Jürgen Klopp after he left the club,
how Curtis Jones celebrated that goal against Everton in the FA Cup, why Dirk Kuyt played a key role in Luis Suarez signing from Ajax, and lots more fascinating insights and stories ready for you to hear. Every episode of We Are Liverpool is available now, and make sure you give us a follow so you don't miss any future shows. Right, let's get back to today's show.
Now, he was the hero on Sunday once again. Liverpool relied on a number of crucial saves from Kevin Kelleher. He's speaking to Becky.
Quave, a place in the courses is secured, and another very proud night for the academy out there tonight.
Yeah, like I say, I think the main objective today was get the win and go through to the next round. Obviously, having just played Sunday, I think the task was a bit more difficult, but I thought the young lads came in today and did really well, and did the academy proud again.
Yeah, what was your thoughts on the game? Because it feels like everything settled down a little bit after Lewis got the first goal.
Yeah, I think to be fair to Southampton, I thought they came out probably caused us a few problems with the way they play. They really play some expansive football, and it caused us a few problems. But I think once we got that first goal, I think, like I say, it settled us down a little bit more, and we were able to play some better stuff. And then I think second half, we really got a handle on the game then.
We see so many young faces, as you mentioned, out there tonight. Lewis and Jaden with the goals. How impressed are you with them, really, and the progress that they're making?
Yeah, obviously massively impressed, but I'm not surprised either, to be honest. They've been up training with us a lot, and I can see the potential that they have. So I'm obviously really happy for them. They deserve this moment, but I'm not too surprised because they've shown that great potential already in training.
Yeah, as senior players, you know, how do you sort of help them and put an arm around them a bit on a night like this? Obviously a huge moment for them to be standing in the tunnel or coming on off the bench.
Yeah, I think you just try to be there for them and just calm them. To be fair to these young guys, I think they take it all in their stride, really. I think, you know, they're all buzzing to get out there, and just, you know, nothing really fazes them, to be honest. So I don't think you have to do too much, but just try to be that calm and figure, and if they need someone to lean on, just try to be there for them.
And it's a quarterfinal with Manchester United at Old Trafford. There's no let up in the fixture list, is there, but one to whet the appetite, I think, for the next round.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, it's a massive game, a massive rivalry, so we're looking forward to it.
Thanks, Quave. Cheers.
Cheers.
Colours personified off the pitch as well as on it. They had to count on him again tonight, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. He made some crucial saves in the first half, and I think we have to give credit where credit's due. I felt Southampton started the game quite well. They started it quite quickly. They played some nice stuff. They wasn't shy to play out from the back, which we've seen many, many times. But they had some good opportunities. But the main man stepped up again. We talked about him before the game, how good he was, that we believe that we have the number one and number two best keepers in the world. For me, Keller has been fantastic when he's had to step in for when Alisson's been out. And again, he's made some crucial saves and crucial moments, because it would have been a difficult one. It would have been a difficult one for the boys to go behind tonight. And, you know, I think the whole team looked a little bit sluggish coming off the back of Sunday's tough 120 minutes. But then we grew into the game. And like he said, I think once we got that goal, we settled the game down and started to get more control.
Very rarely like goalkeepers, Neil Mellor, but you love this fella, don't you?
Do. Absolutely, yeah. Love the way he speaks, his calmness, and you can sort of sense that as well. I mean, there's been times, and we're not the only team to have had it, where when the ball goes back to the goalie, you think, oh, panicking here, thinking, what's going to happen here? And you can hear the sort of panic inside the stadium. Never felt that with Kevin. I think that's credit to him with his personality, but he produces big saves at key moments. Like Jay said, Southampton started the game the better. Should have probably gone in front, but didn't because of that man. Started the second half with 1-0 up. He makes a big save again. Didn't at the back post, he makes a good save. Goes out for a goal kick, comes back off the striker. If that goes in or one early on, it's a different game. It gives Southampton a little bit more belief. They can get something from the game. And it may even jade the mentality of the players, the young players out there for Liverpool tonight. And because of those big saves at key moments, never had to affect our mentality for the night.
Should we sum up where we are in terms of the FA Cup and the draw, the results from last night, who Liverpool face, and how the rest of the draw looks as well? On Monday, Coventry strolled through 5-0 over Maidstone United, and then last night it was Bournemouth 0, Leicester 1. It was a late night in the Blackburn and Newcastle game. It was a 1-1 draw. The Newcastle team, the Magpies, progressing after spot kicks. And Man City cruised through 6-2 against Luton. It was almost the competition until Haaland got his way. He got 5 goals on the night. Tonight it was Chelsea 3, Leeds 2. That was a scoreline that Neil Mellor was watching very closely tonight. The Blues bouncing back with a late winner there from Conor Gallagher. Nottingham Forest 0, Manchester United 1. Casemiro with the goal very late on in the 89th minute there. And Wolves 1, Brighton 0. Lamina with the goal for the home side there. And of course it was Liverpool 3, Southampton 0 here at Anfield tonight. So the quarter-final fixture we're interested in is another massive tie for the Reds. They will take on Manchester United, which will have, we presume, a consequence for that Everton game as well. We'll move it aside for now and perhaps give some of those returning players a little bit longer to put themselves in the mix for a game so big. If this wasn't big enough, of course, this quarter-final. And the rest of the draw, it looks like this. Wolves against Coventry City. Chelsea will have the home tie against Leicester City. And Manchester City at home to Newcastle United. Those ties will take place on the 16th and 17th of March. Likely the 17th for the Reds as they're taking on Sparta Praha in on the Thursday. And the Merseyside derby, as I alluded to there, due to be played the weekend, will be rescheduled as well. What's your feeling about the draw?
Personally, I'd always want to be at home. Obviously, it's an away game. United aren't in a great place at the moment. It looks unconvincing again that the result they've gone to Forest. And get the one, we play them soon after that. So obviously we've got City coming up, which is a massive game. And then it's the second leg of that Sparta-Prague one. And then it's this game, and then it's international. And then I think it's Brighton, and then United. So do you know what? It's going to be a massive month, March, isn't it? But what's nice and different to last season, we're in the mix. We've won a trophy already. We're in the mix thinking, right, Premier League title, we can have a good go at that. Quarterfinals of the FA Cup, going to United and winning, we'll all have a bit of that. And obviously the Europa League, who knows what's there. But it's a real good feeling around the place. Fans leaving tonight, a big buzz, singing the Jurgen song. We know he's coming to an end at the end of the season. It could be just a dream end. And to beat United away in a couple of weeks, that could be great.
Every game here feels, Jay, like you're going to a concert. You know, we know what the end... It's going to be really sad. It's going to be heartbreaking for all of us as Liverpool fans. But there's an appreciation. There was an appreciation even from the manager after half an hour that the crowd started singing "Lay, Lay, Lay." He actually applauded the crowd as if to say the players really need this tonight. Let's hope it's like that for the rest of the season. Now
I can't see it not being. I think obviously Sunday kickstarted it, but I think since the bosses. Obviously, announcement to say they'd be leaving at the end of the season. I think everybody's kind of gathered around as one and gone, do you know what, let's go out on a bang. Let's give it absolutely everything we can, home and away. Let's make it as loud as we can. Let's make it as good as we can for the lads, for the staff, and make him leave on a high and leave on the biggest high possible. We ticked off one box on Sunday and we want to tick off as many boxes going forward as we can. But like you say, every time you come into the stadium, even away games, it sounds like it feels like a carnival and it feels as if everyone's excited for the game of football. And I think that affects, goes onto the pitch and gives the players a lot of a boost as well.
That definitely is the feeling. And where he also mentioned in his interview before, momentum in life is really important. Momentum in football, really important. The mere fact that we see Virgil van Dijk out there tonight, captain the team at the weekend, first trophy. Is he feeling that now? Is he almost going to Jurgen Klopp and saying, I want to play in every game now. I want another trophy. Yeah. I want to win this FA Cup.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I wasn't maybe expecting to see him start. You know, he's done great again. Canate comes on at half-time.
How good was he?
Brilliant again. But I mean, I was pleased tonight it didn't go to extra time because I was thinking not again. You know, the strain that would have put on the legs. We're looking at United there, they've got a tough game. There's a lot of tough games to come. Momentum is so important because of the confidence it gives everyone. And I just hope that injury list just starts to ease a little bit so we can get some of these key players back for some massive games around the corner.
The fact that we saw Harvey Elliott for so long, we saw Gakpo for so long. I'm clutching here maybe a little bit.
I know where you're going.
Does that suggest that Szoboszlai and Nunes are close?
I'd hope so. I'm clutching the same as you. I'm hoping that's a sign that, you know, they go on and play 85, 80 minutes and there's hopefully a reason for that. But that, I think that shows the levels of the players and the fitness that they've got to. And I think that they can... Listen, these are elite players. And I'm trying to give all excuses for them, but they play at the highest level, they play at the highest intensity, they've got the best facilities to go and recover, they've got the best food, you know, they are elite, but to show the place where the staff have got them, the fitness staff have got them, the sports science have got them, how Jürgen wants them to play, I think the players are extremely fit, and I think they'll want to keep, like we say, momentum. I think the players will want to keep momentum as well, because there's nothing better than like churning out game after game after game to keep the rhythm of your own pattern of, if you're playing well, right, I want to keep playing, I want to try and stay in this moment for as long as you can. The last thing you want sometimes is a Saturday to a Saturday. It becomes too much of a break, and I'm sure Neil will be able to reiterate on this, but when you play Saturday, Tuesday, and you're in a really good rhythm as a player, you feel confident, you want games, and just tick them off as quick as you can.
if I'm Jadon Danz, I'm knocking on the gaffer's door and say, you can't leave me out, Saturday. Two goals, what do you want me to do?
Good luck with that one.
Top striker.
OK, it's time to turn our attention to the weekend. The Reds back in Premier League action, and it's Nottingham Forest at the City Ground. Another huge one for Liverpool. They all now, with this run as tight as it is.
It's never an easy place to go, the City Ground. I think it'll be a tough one for us to go to, and they'll be up for it, considering obviously the leaders of the Premier League are coming, which is ourselves. But I think we have to go there, we have to concentrate on the job ahead and work as hard as possible to gain the 3 points.
They're in big trouble. They are in big trouble of going down this season. 4 point gap to Luton. I think the fact that they've got points looming over them, and we don't know what will happen with their case and whether they'll get, how many points they'll get, but you're just thinking there will be something. I don't like the timing of it, because what we're going into the running, sort of last 10 games or so of the Premier League season, and they don't know what's going to happen to them. I don't like that, but I think that's round the corner for Forest. They're not winning games at home. I don't think it has been a tough place to go to. They've lost 6 of the last 8 games this season, and they need to improve that between now and the end of the season. So, yes, bad memories, and yes, we've got a few injuries, but they are not in a good place at the moment, Nottingham Forest.
It could get a little bit worse as well with what happened. Everton have had some points back. It is a survival game, and that is dangerous as well, Jay, is it not? That, you know, they're in this situation now where they are literally scrapping for their lives.
I think with that, with obviously the Everton looming and with the points getting back as well, I think that's is over their shoulder. I think it's something that will play on their mind as a fan base, as players, knowing that they may get drawn into it. You then go into league games thinking they're under pressure, you're in trouble. You're worried that you have to win the game of football, that you have to go and do something. You know, every single result matters. And some players can't, sometimes the pressure gets a bit too much for them. So we hope that all the pressure's on them. We can go there and concentrate on ourselves and hopefully come out with the points.
Momentum important for us, Neil, having done this, having achieved what we did on Sunday. This is a dressing room that is going to be chomping at the bit again.
Yeah, and put the pressure back onto City and Arsenal. We're in a title race. City know that. I think City will look at us and think, they know that we can really push them all the way. Arsenal had a go last season. I think they're improved from last season. I have to say that about Arsenal. So at the moment, it's a three-way race, and we've got the chance to put the pressure back onto City. I think City play Sunday, if I'm right, in thinking against Manchester United, a big game themselves this weekend. So let's get the result, put the pressure back on them. So when they come here in a couple of weeks' time, let's make that one of the best results of the season and extend our gap at the top.
You'll have both been in this situation as players, as playing for a massive club like Liverpool, where there is that feeling in the dressing room, just that good vibe going on. It must just be the best job in the world when results are going your way and you've won one trophy and there's maybe a chance of winning a couple of others.
Yeah, there is no better feeling, and it comes back to the word momentum again, because as a player, as a club, as a staff, as a group of players, when you feel that momentum and when you feel things are going right, you do not want the fixtures to stop. You don't want the momentum to take a chance of having to stop as well. You don't want to pick up any injuries. You don't want anything to get in that way. You want to play game after game after game, and you want them to keep coming as quick as they can to keep the momentum going into the next one. And when you're in that moment where you feel as if, yeah, do you know what, we're unstoppable, we can go, I'm playing well, people around me are playing well, the connection's there, there's nothing better, and I'm sure obviously Neil will be able to reiterate it, but I feel as if Liverpool are in that one now, even with the young lads coming in. I just feel as if we're stepping forward, going forward, and whatever gets thrown our way, we're adapting and we're kicking on.
That City game feels massive. Want to keep the momentum, starting with the game against Nottingham Forest in the Premier. Last thing we want to do is drop points there at Forest, thinking, drop points there. We want to keep this momentum going, get the 3 points there. Europa League game, I know, before that City game, but 3 points at Forest will be massive before the big Premier League game against City here.
And they have that knowledge now, Jay, as well, that they can manage these three-game-a-week fixtures. You know, they have players that come in, provided big headlines tonight. They might be needed again. They have this knowledge that they can cope with this fixture list if they can stay clear of any more serious injuries.
Yeah, and listen, and that's what a squad's for. We know that when injuries come, opportunities arise for the others, and the others have taken them. We know that the squad has been hacked that away. It's been, the players have been, we've lost a lot of crucial players, but boys have stepped up to the call. We talked about a lot of them tonight, the young boys, the Joe Gomez's as well. Conor Bradley stepped in, and Harvey Elliott stepped in, Gravenberg stepped in, obviously unluckily to pick up his injury come the weekend. But a lot of players have stepped up and done really, really well, and you need your full squad. If you want to compete in all fronts, if you want to, in four competitions which we're still in, you have to have a big enough squad to compete and help each other out, and people are going to get called upon at different parts of the stage and different parts of the season. And when you do, you need to be ready for it. And obviously now with the games coming thick and fast, we're hoping that a few players get a couple more days to come back and get involved.
We are being stretched, you know, with the injuries. We know we're in double figures. And rather than the players looking around and feeling sorry for themselves, thinking, oh, he's out injured, and sort of dwell on that, they're actually, no. Let's go and find solutions. The manager mentioned it in his post-match interview. So rather than the senior players looking around and thinking, cool, we've only got some young lads, they're helping the young players. The young players that are thriving on the senior players helping them. And it's making sure we're getting these decent results rather than all feeling sorry for ourselves. Oh, more injuries. And the momentum would soon change if we had that mindset. We don't.
That is it from this Reaction podcast. We hope you can join us again after Liverpool's trip to take on Notts Forest at the City Ground. And we'll bring you more exclusive interviews and analysis then. Until then, if you haven't already, do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop. We'll see you next time.